Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, to hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we cordially invite you to come and be a part of the program. That number to call, 844-322-2742. Questions or concerns, call now in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, friends, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. 844-322-2742 is the number. We would love to hear from you. Andrew Farley is here with us, and you know it's always a barn burner when he's on with us, and we just have a lot of fun together talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, this new covenant that we live in, the grace of God that we experience every single day as we live in Christ. So it's exciting to talk about that. Today, we're going to talk about hope. And I love Andrew in chapter 6 of Hebrews, verse 13. And it starts out this way, for when God made a promise. So he's speaking specifically about the promise God made to Abraham. But I just like the ring of that phrase, for when God made a promise. Well, God has made a promise to you and to me, and it's this new covenant, and it fills us with hope, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And this passage creates a picture for us, Bob, that a lot of Christians are just not aware of. I mean, it's very tempting for us to think that we might have made a deal with God. You know, when we came to salvation, when we received Christ, that, you know, we told God, I'm going to do my part, God, and thank you for doing your part in response. And we kind of thought we made a deal with God. Maybe some of us, that's our perspective. But Hebrews chapter 6 really blows that to smithereens by showing us that that's not at all what happened at salvation. In fact, it's very much the opposite of that. See, under the law, there was a deal made with God. I mean, Moses came down from the mountain. He said, here's what God wants you to do. And Israel said, okay, we promise. We will do everything written in the law. And then you know the story. I mean, that was what I call the first Promise Keepers Convention. And it was an absolute bust there at the bottom of Mount Sinai. They could not keep that promise to God. And so they broke the deal again and again and again. I mean, Hebrews even says it. It says, I turned away from them, says the Lord, because they did not remain faithful. So that's what it's like to try to make a deal with God where you've got to keep up your end of some bargain. But what's beautiful about Hebrews chapter 6 is God is saying, no, I took care of that faithfulness problem. I took care of your obedience problem. I took care of your dedication problem. I took care of your consistency problem. And here's how I did it. I promised myself. And that's what Hebrews says, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, so that by two unchangeable things we have this hope as an anchor for our soul. And let's talk about that, because on one side of the promise you've got God, and he's 100%. I mean, he's faithful, he's always consistent, he never changes, and when he makes a promise, it is solid. And then on the other side, you've got God. He's over there too. And he is a solid promise keeper. He is faithful always, never changing. And so by two unchangeable things, we have this hope as an anchor. So, Bob, people are worried. I mean, Christians get worried all the time. What does God think of me? Have I lost my salvation? Where do I stand with him? And immediately, we start surveying our recent performance. How am I doing? How am I doing? How am I doing? Well, what we read in Hebrews 6 is, it's not about us and how we're doing. It's about God being a perfect promise keeper. And then on the other side, God being a perfect promise keeper. And it's these two unchangeable things that keep us safe and secure. So somebody says, okay, I get it. It's God and God. God swore to God. But what do I do? What's my role? Well, we wake up every day and as I like to say, Bob, we get to say wow and thank you, and that's what faith is. I mean, faith says wow and whoa and thank you, Lord. And that's our role, to give thanks and participate in this beautiful covenant that God started, that God maintains, and that God will carry on until the end.
Yes, indeed. Well, let me ask you this, Andrew. You brought up something that I think is vitally important, and it may be applicable to many of our listeners right now. Some of our listeners, they may have been diagnosed with COVID-19, and so they're having all kinds of questions, and they may be making deals with God. If you'll just get me through this, then I will dedicate my life to you. They may have a loved one that is suffering with the virus, and they may be saying the same thing in their prayers. Lord, if you will just make Mary well, I'll dedicate my life to you. Or if you'll just make my son well, I'll dedicate my life to you. Is that an appropriate prayer? And how do we use this hope that the new covenant gives us as a way to shape how we pray to God in this particular coronavirus pandemic?
Well, I mean, I get it. First of all, I love the question, and I do get it because it's a very human temptation. Look, there are people from religions all over the world who perhaps have this virus, and then they're looking up to heaven and they're saying, God, I promise, and God, I'm really going to do it, and God, I'll be sold out, and God, I'll be dedicated, and if you just do this for me, then I'll just do this for you. And do we see what we're doing? I mean, we're back to living in a law-based relationship where we imagine what Israel experienced, but in fact it's a little bit worse, because
yes indeed,
we're saying, hey, I'm going to initiate, and then God, you better respond to me, and if I do my part, then you better make this person well. If I do my part and make this promise to you, then you better step into action and do what I say. And, you know, what I love about the new covenant is, again, it starts with God is good, and he has done something for us independent of us. And so that's where our real assurance and hope is. Look, my body may fall ill. I may go through physical ailments. I may experience grief and loss. My goodness, the early church did. They were tortured, killed, dragged from their homes, blamed for the burning of Rome, put up on a wall and burned at the stake. I mean, they experienced some awful circumstances, but they also knew that they had something unshakable and unbreakable in this anchor of the soul that we're talking about in Hebrews 6. So, Bob, I think the core message of the new covenant is it starts with God, it finishes with God, it's all about Jesus as high priest, what he did for us. God's not interested in striking deals with us. Instead, he wants to show us the power of the name of Jesus, the promises that come through him, and the fact that God is good to us because he wants to be good, not because we force him into a corner with our quote-unquote deals.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Well, Andrew, thanks for those keen insights, Bob.
Well, we're off and running with this edition of Basic Gospel. Of course, Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you're with us, friends. We would like for you to really join us by reaching out and reaching into the studio right now at 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the live broadcast at 8 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, well, you can reach out, and we'd love to hear from you right now. Again, 844-322-2742. Bob?
Well, thanks, Bob. We have this this question from one of our Facebook viewers, Jeff, and Andrew. He writes this: are Christians required to obey stay-at-home orders, and where does loving each other fit in with all of this?
Okay. Well, I mean, the book of Romans talks about respecting our governors, our leaders, and even praying for them. And that's an important aspect of this discussion. I mean, let's look at what some of the radical things are that are happening right now. I mean, people are going to church anyway, despite the advice of the CDC, despite the advice of the president and the governing bodies that we have in the United States, and then people are getting sick. I mean, they're gathering in crowds of thousands or hundreds of people, and that can be dangerous, especially while it's been on the rise. So when we see in Romans 13, it says everyone must submit to governing authorities. All authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Now, you know, obviously, you go back to Rome and you see that they weren't going to, the early Christians weren't going to worship Nero, for example. They weren't going to worship these leaders of Rome or call Nero God. So there's a time when the government might oppose the very core of your faith, and that might be a time, well, it is a time to stand up for what you believe. But here we're just talking about sickness and the safety of others, and it's not very loving, Bob. It's certainly not very loving to just callously proceed and infect other people. So I understand that some churches out there, you know, there's a desire to get back to collecting, offering, and they have financial needs and they want to get back together for fellowship. I get that temptation. But I think that to walk in love here, Bob, is to think about other people possibly being infected, and it's just not a loving thing to help that along.
Absolutely, and I think that's kind of the outgrowth of our relationship with the Lord. We had a question yesterday about what it means to be filled with the Spirit, and being filled with the Spirit is being controlled by an understanding of the love of God. And I think just that knowledge of God himself, his character, the understanding of the love of God begins to shape how you're going to kind of live out that faith in whatever life throws your way. Mm-hmm. And certainly you want to consider the needs of others, as Paul would say in Philippians 2, over and above your own. So, let love rule the day. And yes, that's our freedom as believers. I think a lot of people are worried about having freedoms ripped out from underneath us. And certainly that's a legitimate concern. But the freedom that we have in Christ, no one can snatch that away.
No,
no one can rob us of that. No one can rob us of the choice to love our neighbor. That's on us. That's between us and the Holy Spirit, and simply abiding. That's where we live. That's what we do every day. We abide in Christ, and that love that he's poured out in our hearts begins to become the compelling force in how we live in relationship with one another. So I think if we'll just trust the lead of the Holy Spirit, we're going to know exactly what to do in times like this as believers in Christ.
Indeed. Amen. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody, and as we continue to slog through these dark days of this virus, maybe you're feeling the pressure of being locked out of work or losing your job, and maybe it's the issue of having to stay home for weeks at a time, only going out for groceries maybe. And maybe it's just the grinding oppression of isolation for so many of us. Well, knowing that things may not get back to normal anytime soon. That's an issue that people deal with. And that's why it's vital to understand that there is something and someone bigger than this virus situation. And this someone loves you and doesn't want you to languish in uncertainty. When God is in your corner, or more accurately, when you are in Jesus Christ, what or who can stand against you? That's the issue that Bob Christopher addresses in his message, When God is for You, and we want you to have a copy as our way of saying thanks for your gift of support during the month of April to Basic Gospel. Click donate when you visit basicgospel.net, and be sure to request your copy of When God is for You. Again, basicgospel.net, a prominent donate link right there on the homepage.
Well, thanks, Bob. We have another great question from one of our Facebook viewers, David. And he wants to know this, Andrew: am I failing to love my neighbor if I do not vaccinate myself and my family against the coronavirus? And he says, my pastor seems to think so, unfortunately. So how do we deal with that? Well, one, it's a future event. There's not even a vaccination in existence yet, and we don't know when there will be one. So we're talking about a future time.
Yes.
Way down the road. So how do we deal with this? I mean, how do we deal with this question right now?
Yeah, I mean, we're living in a no man's land in terms of that vaccine, as you rightly described, Bob. And so we're left with several ways of coping with what's going on. I mean, first of all, there's the quarantine, which we just discussed. And second of all, there's seeking medical treatment if you do get it. There are medicines that are being worked on as we speak, and some of them have been released in small quantities. And then there's this vaccine, as you talked about. I mean, it could be 3 months, 6 months, 12 months away or more. So to just sort of create a code of ethics where everybody's sinning unless they have a vaccine, I don't know that it's time for a pastor to be talking that way, especially when there is no vaccine. What it does is, as in many cases, it creates this malaise and this general sense of a sin consciousness. I mean, now I'm walking out of church or walking away from the service online, and I'm thinking that, you know, as long as I don't have this vaccine, as if there's any chance I might give it to somebody else, then I'm walking in an attitude of sin, and I'm just sinning constantly. It's reminiscent of, you know, what someone might say about issues like pollution. Well, if you're driving your car, then you're sinning, you know, because you're contributing to pollution. So we end up with this sort of sin consciousness that God never intended us to have, and this false accusation, really. We have to remember there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. We need to be fixing our eyes on Jesus, thinking about the gift of righteousness in Him, recognizing that even if something were a sin, it's God's job to make that plain and obvious to us, and He'll also remind us that we're forgiven. So you can judge a very poor teaching by the result of it. I mean, the truth will set you free, and an error or a lie or an accusation or just a hint of condemnation will put you in incredible bondage. You'll seize up. You'll start thinking about yourself and how you're doing and your performance, and it no longer is a joy to relate to God at that point, because you're not thinking about His goodness. You're thinking about your badness, and that's not the gospel message. The gospel message is God is good, and then He made you good in heart by giving you a new one, and He also forgave you past, present, and future. So, Bob, we don't have to walk around with this this obsession with what might be sin or what could be sin. It feels like we're at the foot of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we're going to get out our measuring stick and figure out how okay we are. And the message of the gospel is you're off the charts okay. You're beyond okay. You're righteous, forgiven, cleansed, completely loved, and totally accepted.
Yeah, well, David had a follow-up question, you know, and not so much just a vaccination about COVID-19, just vaccinations in general. So, you know, there's these underlying concerns about vaccinations being the cause of some other diseases. We're not so sure about all the science behind that. Then as far as this vaccination with COVID-19, there are folks that are fearful this may be how, you know, people are marked with the mark of the beast. So you've got all kinds of things circling around that vaccination issue. And I know as far as the mark of the beast is concerned, if you're a believer, you've already been marked out by the Lord. You have the Holy Spirit. You don't have to worry about those sort of things. Then as far as some of the other issues swirling around vaccinations in general, Andrew, does that just get down to somebody saying, hey, I've got to be led by the Lord on this. I've got to examine the evidence, and I've got to be led by the Lord on what decision I make?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much information circulating in blogs and websites and all over social media about vaccinated children and unvaccinated children, and my child ended up this way, and we think it was because, you know, 3 years ago they had this vaccine, and we're trying to connect the dots and prove something with a sample size of one in our family. And you know, it's tempting to do that sort of thing, and I think we just have to, as you said, each of us can have our own conviction about vaccines in general. But, you know, this is a new vaccine that, first, doesn't exist, that, second of all, hasn't been fully tested, and third, hasn't been released. So I think it is common sense and godly wisdom to say, maybe I'll take the slow approach to this, investigate, study it out, make sure I'm not doing something harmful to myself here. I think that's just plain old godly wisdom. Yeah. As far as the mark of the beast goes, though, Bob, you said it. I mean, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And in the Old Testament, you know, the Jews would have this notion of having the law written on their mind, or having the law written on their head or on their hand. That would mean I'm doing the deeds of the law with my hands, and I'm thinking the thoughts of the law with my mind. And, you know, a lot of the things that we see in the book of Revelation, they carry Old Testament symbolism in them. They just do.
Absolutely.
And this is one of those cases, I believe, that to take a mark of the beast or mark of the enemy would be to say, okay, with my hands and with my mind, I'm going to agree with your doctrine, with your false doctrine, with the idea that you are something other than you really are. I'm going to choose to be deceived. I'm going to believe what you say, and I'm going to follow you in word and in deed. And, you know, as far as who that is, those would be unbelievers that are deceived about a false message. And we Christians have already been marked out. I mean, think of it. The Bible says the evil one cannot touch you. So if we're worried somehow about getting some mark and being harmed and falling out of God's grace, look, remember, the evil one cannot touch us. We are sealed until the day of redemption. This mark of the beast, I do not believe, is something literal and physical. It has to do with belief systems and with deception. And thank God, with the Spirit living in us, we're only going to call the Lord, Lord, because He makes that plain and obvious.
Absolutely. Well, let's quickly go to North Carolina and talk to Andrew. Hi, Andrew. We've got a couple of minutes. Hopefully we can give a good answer for you, my friend.
I hope so, because, you know, I appreciate everything that you do, but maybe you can deal with it later on. But I hear so many people, especially white evangelist Christians, talk about the virtue of America, and they forget that America condoned slavery and discriminated against people, and also had another people who are Americans who they almost annihilated. So when I hear these Christian people talking about how virtue America is, how Christian America is, how great it is, and they don't deal with those other aspects, and being a Christian, I think that what we need to do is make sure that we get the whole story out and act like, and quit acting like those things have not happened in this country, and let the truth of God speak to each and everything. But to cover up these things doesn't make any sense to me. Mm. So what I want to do, I know you don't have time to deal with it now because the time is limited, but maybe y'all can have a program so that you can kind of deal with the truth and let people know what's really going on in this country.
Yeah, well, Andrew, let me jump in right there, because we're out of time, but Andrew, I want to hear just a snippet of information that can help Andrew with that.
I mean, slavery is a cruel thing. The type of slavery you're talking about is cruel and awful, and we condemn it and don't want anything to do with it. I mean, it took place among American Indians from one tribe to another. It took place among white people. It took place among so many different populations throughout, including the Egyptians. It's an awful thing. And our hope is never in a single philosophy or government or nation. Our hope is always in Jesus Christ and His love.
Absolutely. Andrew, thanks for your call. Hope to hear from you again. Friends, keep in mind that we had this very timely message by Bob Christopher called When God Is For You is our way of saying thanks for your gift of support to Basic Gospel during the month of April. We would love for you to help us reach out literally around the world with the love and grace of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So you can click donate at basicgospel.net right now and help us get the word out far and wide. Be sure to request your copy of When God Is For You when you make your contribution to support Basic Gospel. We would love for you to partner with us. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with great thanks to our friend Andrew Farley for being with us today, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.